Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
There we go. Some good old REO. REO Speedwagon. Don't let him go. Hey, this is your host, Ron Reck of Crazy Nation Radio. And it is Tuesday, 7/25/2023. Wow. This day will be soon in the fucking past on it. But hey, tonight's the night. We're going to talk about the big great fight of what the fuck the Bidens are doing. Wow. Oh, wow. Shit keeps falling off. There's still no indictments. Ain't that something? Hunter's going to get his hand smacked. We're fucking the government out of all kinds of money. That's okay. That's their government. They own it. We don't. We're just the slaves. They are the masters and we are the slaves, which is really supposed to be the other way around. We're supposed to be the masters. They're supposed to be public servants and we're the public. Huh. How'd they get so fucking mixed up? Anyway, we're going to keep carrying on and listen to more of the bullshit we're dealing with. And we're going to hear what James Comer has to say about it. Let's check this fucker out.
Kentucky Congressman James Comer, who is chairman of the House Oversight Committee. Chairman Comer, welcome back, sir, as always.
Great to be back.
All right. Mr. Chair, I want to ask you about Devin Archer. It's speculation that he will appear before your committee on Monday. My first question is, have you nailed down that date?
His lawyer issued a statement yesterday confirming that he will, in fact, come before our committee staff Monday for a transcribed interview. As has been reported, he was scheduled three or four other times and had to cancel for various reasons. But this is the first time that his lawyers publicly issued a statement confirming that he will, in fact, show up. So that's very good news for our investigation.
All right. Well, it's good news for the public and for transparency. Now, he was –
once upon a time, Hunter Biden's, I guess, best pal, involved in all the same business ventures. So, Mr. Chairman, let me ask you this. There's a lot of speculation what Mr. Devin Archer may say, especially with respect to various conference calls with then Vice President Joe Biden. I wanted to ask, with respect to the speculation, where's that speculation coming from? Did you pre-interview Mr. Archer, or where's all these rumors stemming from?
Well, I can say this. Mr. Archer's had conversations with several people over the course of the past couple of years. So I think those were the sources in the New York Post interview. Pretty confident I know who those sources were. So Devin Archer would know more about particularly Burisma than anyone we could talk to, because Devin Archer was on the board of Burisma with Hunter Biden. So in addition to them being close friends, they were also on the board of that Ukrainian energy company that's at the center of everything in our investigation. Look, we released the form last week, Senator Grassley and I, that showed that there was an allegation made by the owner of Burisma that he bribed Joe Biden in exchange for firing the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma for corruption. We know that Joe Biden went on television and bragged about firing the prosecutor. We know there are suspicious wire transfers from Ukraine that we don't know what the purpose of those wire transfers were. And we know that Devin Archer knows a lot of answers that we seek with respect to those suspicious wire transfers. So we're very excited about his upcoming testimony before the House Oversight Committee.
Tim, just as an aside, but it's an important aside, you know, in that 1023 that was released by Senator Chuck Grassley, it comes out that it was Joe Biden who was shaking down the CEO of Burisma. There was coercion. That's Biden was the one who initiated, said, you got to pay me $5 million and my son $5 million. It wasn't the other way around. Actually, the Burisma guy didn't want to deal with Joe Biden. And in fact, the informative source, the secret source, advised him not to. But I thought it was quite interesting, and I wanted to get your take. I mean, it seems clear from that 1023 that Joe Biden was coercing the head of Burisma.
I don't think any rational person who's kept up with our investigation would believe that the president's son had the ability to nail down millions and millions of dollars in wire transfers from foreign nationals through shell companies that were then laundered to the various Biden family members. I think most rational people would suspect that Joe Biden was front and center in this scheme. And that's what our investigation's been about from day one. It's always been about Joe Biden. And I think we heard the IRS whistleblowers say in their testimony last week that their investigation was closing in on Joe Biden, and that's when the Department of Justice got nervous. That's when they told him to stand down. That's when they stopped sharing information with the whistleblowers, because they were scared that it was coming close to Joe Biden. And the most troubling thing we learned in that hearing last week was that 1023 form that Senator Grassley released, that when Attorney General Barr gave that to Weiss, the U.S. Attorney in Delaware, he never shared that with the IRS employees who were investigating the international tax schemes. Weiss knew these investigators were investigating suspicious wire transfers from Ukraine, and yet he never gave them that FBI document that alleged Joe Biden was involved in a bribery scheme. I mean, this is a cover-up to a big crime that hopefully we're going to be able to get more answers to next week when we start what I call the deposition phase of our interviews, where we start bringing people in and showing the bank records and bank statements that we've already subpoenaed and said, what was the purpose for this $1 million transfer from China? What was the purpose for this $1 million wire transfer from Ukraine? Hopefully these people will be able to give us answers to those.
Didn't that, those documents circulate, as I understand it, when Bill Barr was still running the Justice Department, the documents went through Pittsburgh. Now, I don't know if it was a U.S. attorney or the FBI office in Pittsburgh, but a lot of the documents that you're just discussing were corroborated by Pittsburgh, and then they went to Delaware, and then they all kind of dropped dead in Delaware. Right. Weiss wouldn't pursue it. Is that a fair assessment of the way this thing went?
That's a very fair assessment. It was the U.S. attorney in Pittsburgh, and he didn't have subpoena power. He didn't have the ability to investigate a lot of this. He didn't have the staff. He didn't have the authority. So he transferred it to the U.S. attorney in Delaware, who was leading the investigation of the Biden family. So, but what he looked into, he felt like, I believe his name was Brady, what he looked into was he felt like was very troubling. And again, there's a pattern here that would suggest that a bribe isn't out of the question because of how else do you explain the millions of dollars that have been transferred into the Biden shell accounts from foreign nationals who were direct beneficiaries of U.S. policy when Joe Biden was vice president.
Well, the thing is, you're talking about bribe. I mean, according to the FBI's confidential source, a guy that they've used in the past, they've spent a couple, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on it.
Hundreds of thousands.
And I guess this guy, you know, Jamie, I guess this guy himself is some kind of high-level business consultant because he was working with Burisma at the top level and so forth and so on. He makes it clear that it was – I come back to this point because I think it's incredibly important – that Joe Biden was coercing the president and CEO of Burisma. It wasn't the other way around. It was Joe Biden. And so – Joe Biden is running this family crime segment. Joe Biden's the guy that got rich as vice president. Most of us who come into government, you know, for a few years or whatever, we lose money. We have to dip into our savings. Joe Biden became a multi-millionaire with fancy estates and so forth. So he's telling this Burisma guy, Joe Biden, to pay him $5 million and his son. I mean, isn't that – I mean, it's beyond bribery. It's bribery, but he is the one who initiated it. Isn't that treason? Isn't that impeachable offense?
Well, I think Kevin McCarthy said last night on Fox News on Hannity's show that we're going to begin an impeachment inquiry. I mean, the evidence that the House Oversight Committee has presented to the American people thus far is pretty overwhelming. I don't think anyone, as I said earlier, with a sense – any type of common sense would think that the president's son was able to do all this. And I think we're going to have an opportunity to hear from someone next week who was front and center in all this that has many answers to these questions. And he's going to be given an opportunity. And I hope that he'll be like the two IRS whistleblowers and step up and tell the truth and be heroes, because this is one of the biggest crimes that I've ever studied with respect to American history. This is troubling. Every American should strongly oppose public corruption, and that's what this investigation is all about, to determine whether or not we've had public corruption at the highest levels in our government.
Jamie, you got a sec. I can play the McCarthy tape. You got a sec on this? No,
yes,
we can
sir.
Talk about
Absolutely.
It. All right, here's Kevin McCarthy last night on Hannity.
This is rising to the level of impeachment inquiry, which provides Congress the strongest power to get the rest of the knowledge and information needed, because this president has also used something we have not seen since Richard Nixon, used the weaponization of government to benefit his family and deny Congress the ability to have the oversight. I believe we will follow this all the way to the end, and this is going to rise to an impeachment inquiry the way the Constitution tells us to do this.
All right, so there's the speaker saying, you're the one, you and Jim Jordan and so forth, you guys are doing the spade work that I think has given the speaker this conclusion that we're marching towards impeachment. I don't want you to press, you don't have to press too far in that. I just thought it was very, you couldn't be any clearer than what McCarthy just said. Let me just ask you one thing before we lose you, Ms. Chairman. Why do you think this Devin Archer is testifying? What's in it for him now? He's got his own problems. He's going to jail for a year, some complicated bond deal with Native Americans or some such thing. Why is he going to testify, and I presume under oath, before your committee? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I subpoenaed him, so he doesn't have a whole lot of options. If people don't show up for a subpoena, we're going to hold them in contempt, and I don't think that looks good on your resume. But at the end of the day, I think that Archer wants to do the right thing. I think he wants to set the record straight, and he's going to have an opportunity to do that. And look how those two IRS whistleblowers have been received by the American people. They're heralded as heroes. They went. They risked their careers. They did the right thing. And I think every American owes the two IRS whistleblowers who testified last week a debt of gratitude.
And finally, you're going to get this dead in Delaware, David Weiss, U.S. attorney in front of your committee under oath.
I think he's going to be in front of at least the Judiciary Committee, but I'm going to be watching in and working closely with the Judiciary Committee because we have a lot of questions for Mr. Weiss.
Chairman Comer, thank you for your service. Thanks for helping our show out, as always, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Good evening. Welcome to Washington. I'm Brett Baer, Republican presidential candidate Ron.
Show Kentucky Congressman James Comer, who is chairman of the House.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On January 21st, 2021, I introduced articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. And less than 2 weeks later, I was kicked off all of my committees by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. They said it was for Facebook comments and replies and likes, but we all know the truth. It was because my articles of impeachment on Joe Biden were correct. He was indeed abusing his power as Vice President of the United States. Now we have more information to prove that not only was I right then, but it was more damning than we already knew. But I'd like to roll back. President Trump was wrongfully impeached twice. And both of these impeachments must be expunged by the House of Representatives. But what I'd like to talk about is the difference in the type of information we have. The Democrats brought out the Steele dossier. The Steele dossier was written as a Democrat political opposition research paper. The information was written by a contractor, and it was fed to the FBI with no transparency on subsources. The contractor had no primary source information, and the FBI operationalized uncorroborated claims to secure FISA warrant on political campaign official of opposing political party. Information was later debunked by Congress, the Inspector General, Special Counsel Investigations, but the mainstream media won Pulitzer Prizes on the bogus Russia narrative. And then they led the witch hunt, leading to impeaching President Trump over a phone call with the president of Ukraine. But let me tell the House what type of information we actually have. We have an FBI form called an FD-1023 form, and here's the difference for the public listening. On the 1023 form, the information originated from an FBI informant who'd been relied upon for many years and was considered the FBI's top informant. It was also paid $200,000 for multiple years by the FBI. Information was written by the FBI agent in official FBI form and relied on no additional subsources. The FBI informant was a direct eye and ear witness to the information provided. The FBI apparently took no action to further the investigative claim. The FBI has refused to describe any investigative steps to assess the investigative information. Therefore, it has not been debunked, despite White House's lies and false claims. The mainstream media has largely ignored the story or parroted the White House false claim. What does the FD-1023 form tell you? I'll tell you exactly what it says, because not only have I read it, I also have it in my possession right here. And this is a form that the entire American people, the entire public should have because it's unclassified. But Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, forced us to read it in a skiff and would not hand it over to us. Thankfully, Senator Chuck Grassley released this form because it was provided to him by a brave whistleblower. This form entails the damning information that then Vice President Joe Biden took a $5 million bribe from the oligarch that owns Burisma. Not only did Joe Biden take a $5 million bribe, so did Hunter Biden. And what did Joe Biden deliver as Vice President of the United States? He got Viktor Shokin, the Ukrainian prosecutor general, fired from his job. How did Joe Biden, Vice President, get that done? He threatened to withhold $1 billion of U.S. aid to Ukraine until Viktor Shokin was fired. And you want to know what? He was fired. In 2016, Joe Biden himself bragged to the Foreign Council and told them that he got him fired. He bragged about it. It's on video. But that's not all they've done. Hunter Biden has also gotten his father on the phone over 24 times to talk with his business partners and talk with them about the business that they are doing. And even more so, in our possession, through our investigations on our Republican-led committees, we also have a WhatsApp chat that says, from Hunter Biden, I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Who's his father? Joe Biden. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand. And now means tonight. And it continues on. What I'm demanding is that the Republican-led House of Representatives move forward on an impeachment inquiry on Joe Biden, because this type of corruption should never be allowed to stand. We must expunge President Trump's wrongful impeachments, and we must impeach Joe Biden.
Yes, we much. We should do very much, motherfuckers. Anyway, to add on, let's throw in some more shit. Here's one that just came out. Obama's chef found dead. Wow, what's up with that, you know? So let's check that. We're going to get into that in a second, but just check this out.
It's not impeachment. It allows Congress to investigate by giving Congress the full power to get the information they need. It's the way people should go about investigating. So let me put yourselves in our place. Doesn't matter who's in the majority or not. You have somebody who went to the FBI. They had a 1023, which is a form they talk about, who says this is an informant that the FBI continues to use. They heard that there were payments to bribe, allegedly, the vice president at the time, that the bribe would be hard to follow because there were shell companies that it would take you years to get through it. That was one allegation. We have a president who told the American public in October that he's never spoken to his family about any of the business. He said no one in the family had ever gotten money from China. Well, now that is proven not to be correct. We now have IRS whistleblowers come forth saying that the Justice Department used their power differently than David Weiss or Garland has said to the American public and the Congress and Senate. They also said that we all know the statute of limitations ran out for the most serious part when it comes to the Biden family on taxes. But the IRS in whistleblower, who when asked questions in that hearing, said no, it was on the table to extend that so the statute of limitations wouldn't run out. And David Weiss let it go. So now you have the president saying one thing that we've proven is not true. You've got IRS whistleblowers saying something when it comes to government treating the Bidens different. You've got an informant claiming that the Biden family had been bribed. Should you ignore that or you should investigate that? The only way you can investigate that is through an impeachment inquiry, so the committee would have the power to get all the documents that they would need. What I said last night, and I continue, I said it before, when more of this continues to unravel, it rises to the level of impeachment inquiry where you would have the Congress to have the power to get to all these answers. I would think the Biden family would want to answer these questions as well, provide the documents instead of holding them back. We're watching this administration use government much like Richard Nixon used by denying us to get the information that we need. So that's what the answer to the
question. What would an impeachment inquiry allow congressional investigators that the oversight committees and judiciary committees don't already have? And how would you respond to Democrats' contention that the 1023 was in the possession of the Justice Department during the Trump administration under Attorney General Barr, and they found it not to be credible enough to move forward with an investigation?
Not true. Not true. If you listen to what Barr came forward, Barr said he moved the 1023 when he found out about it to the, I believe it was the Philadelphia Department of the Justice Department. That Justice Department came back and said that and don't quote me because I got to get the right terms, exactly what they said, but they said there was more merit and more information. When have you found a Justice Department of attorneys to find more information than the FBI? The FBI did nothing with it. And you raised a very good point here because you bring up that. Well, we have now found from the IRS agents, the whistleblowers who came forth, that they were denied this document while they were investigating. Not only were they denied the document, when they had a meeting, then they were going to talk about it, they asked to be a part of it, and they were denied to be there. Now, that raises lots of questions. You never want people to question that type of thing. You want to be forthcoming. So what an impeachment inquiry does, it gives us the apex of the power of Congress for Republicans and Democrats to gather the information that they need. So when we're continuing that, you raise a question like this, wondering what's right or wrong, you would want the truth as well, just as you're covering it for the American public. What that simply provides is that the American public has a right to know. And this allows Congress to get the information to be able to know the truth. Yes, ma'am.
What do you say to the moderates in your party who say you continue to side and appease the right wing on many issues, including...
Such as what?
On talking about an impeachment inquiry of President Biden, on appropriations, on the long list of things.
Well, I don't know, because you haven't quoted anybody. You just say something. You say you frame some brand of something, but let me answer your question. It's very forceful and truthful in this. I have nothing to do about who in the party. This is about America. And I raise to you, I watch you on TV, you write every day about covering government. So right now you have a president who told you and every other American that he's never talked to as a family about business and they never got $1 from China. You now know that's not true. You have a president, while he was vice president, that got 16 out of 17 payments from Romania while he was president. You now had never known that before he was elected, but you now have a document that the FBI had that didn't further to investigate, even though the Justice Department said there was merit, that said they were bribed and told they had to run through shell companies, which you never knew about, but now you know there are shell companies, and what they made this claim to be, you find that the form of which to pay in is actually what came through. You now have IRS whistleblowers who are not Republican philosophically, who now say they were denied the ability to do their job. And in trying to do their job in the investigation of the Biden family, they were denied the 1023. Even in meetings where David Weiss has said one thing to them and different to the American public, different than the Attorney General had promised the American public, he said that they should be prosecuted. But now we have found out that the department actually called the Biden family attorneys, told them ahead of time where documents were, treated other people in politics differently, even went to the inaugural committee. Why would they give a heads up to the inaugural committee? Why would they be denied the ability to go forward? They believe the investigation was hampered using political purposes to treat them differently. Now, as an elected official, having all this information, should I ignore it? No. Congress has a responsibility for an investigation wing. All I'm saying is, and I'm sure you'd probably ask the same question, where's the truth? You've got to get to the bottom of the truth. And the only way Congress can do that is go to impeachment inquiry that gives Republicans and Democrats the ability to get all the information. Hey, I think I got to open the floor. I'm sure we're going to be able to see each other. I'm sure you'd probably ask the same question. Where's the truth? You've got to get to the bottom of the truth. And the only way Congress can do that is go to impeachment inquiry that gives Republicans and Democrats the ability to get all the information.
Since we can't get an answer from the president, what does his press secretary have to say?
I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. I'm not going to get into what the House Republicans may or may not do. What I can speak to is what the president is focused on. He's focused on real priorities that the American families care about. He's focused on the American family, but they want to focus on his family. They can do whatever it is that they wish to do, but we're going to stay focused.
How long did it take them to come up with that line? Let's bring in Michigan Republican Congressman Bill Huizenga. Congressman, terrific to see you. Andy McCarthy framed it this way earlier today to me. If the standard for high crimes and misdemeanors is what the Democrats use in opening an impeachment inquiry over President Trump and that Ukraine phone call, that this it, with this what this involves right now, then the misconduct we already know about easily surpasses that standard.
Well, look, they certainly set a very, very low bar, and some people had speculated that impeachment became the new censure back in the last administration. But when you see Jamie Raskin and other people like that out there just a few short years ago using a fake dossier as the basis for one impeachment and a phone call into Ukraine and other places for another one, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me as a direction to go for them at the time. But now, I think as Kevin McCarthy said, as Speaker McCarthy had said, we have to let these investigations move forward. Maybe, frankly, unlike what my colleagues did last Congress and with the last president, we have to make sure that those investigations are done. They're done thoroughly and fairly, and let the evidence lead us to that. And if that is the case, then so be it.
So, Congressman, you're in the conference where all Republicans get together and have a conversation about the priorities of a Republican-led Congress. Where are your fellow members? Are they all on board for this investigation and potentially impeachment of the president?
Well, Sean, you know, the investigation is one thing. An impeachment action is something completely different, as you well know. Those are large thresholds, but those investigations have to be done. And frankly, they're being done, I think, against Mayorkas with Mayorkas at Department of Homeland Security. It should be with the Bidens as well. It should be kind of in every corner that we see the problems, but those investigations, they need to lead either towards something or away from something. And so far, they've been leading towards something that I don't think is a direction anybody relishes or wants to go, because this stuff is hard. I mean, we lived through this the last administration. It divides the country. It divides families. It divides a lot of social fabric things. But it may be necessary. And if some of these accusations are true, I mean, outright bribery and within the family and with his son, those are very, very serious.
Congressman, and I wanted to be clear, the actual article of impeachment against President Trump didn't include a prosecutable crime. And it cited abuse of power. That on that note, if you launch an impeachment inquiry, it will give you the power to actually investigate, and the failure to comply with information demands is an actual obstruction of the impeachment investigation, yeah, which is an impeachable offense. So opening this inquiry will actually let the Republicans do the investigation and will prevent the Biden Justice Department and the Biden administration from stonewalling you.
Well, we're going to find out. Look, I have great faith in both Jim Jordan and James Comer of what their abilities are. It's a virtual printing machine over there some days, according to my friends that serve on the committee with them, as far as the letters going out, and we're seeing potentially contempt of Congress steps. So you're right, Dagan. With that analysis of what happened with the other impeachments of President Trump, and that's one of the reasons why I voted no. That obstruction of justice was weak sauce back then. It would be weak sauce now, and we can't let that happen again. So again, Republicans are holding ourselves to a higher standard, but to me, it's a constitutional standard that we need to pursue. And if it gets there, I'm okay with that. But I want to make sure that that Jim Jordan has the ability to go as far as he possibly can before we have to go to something like that. But as Speaker McCarthy said, that may have to happen.
So, Congressman, let's talk about something you've been working on over the last month, yeah, which is ESG. You've led the House Republican effort on focusing on environmental, social, and governance, which is what ESG stands for. What have you learned over the month, and what's the plan moving forward on how you roll back some of these ESG policies so you have money managers actually investing to make a return on your investment, not a political objective or motivation?
Yeah. Well, this is something we have learned, Sean, is that way too often financial investments have turned into social and political experiments and sometimes agendas. And that's a huge problem, especially when it should be a fiduciary responsibility of maximizing return for the investor. And this is part of the problem with the Securities and Exchange Commission under Gary Gensler. Is we are seeing bureaucrats who are not elected, have not had any of this language go through a legislative process, no approval from the House or the Senate, just deciding that they were the ones that are going to decide what scope one, scope two, scope three information, which is all this data that is out there from both privately held companies and publicly held companies, what they're going to have to send in. And this is not their job. It's not their legal lane. So we know that they are a problem, the regulators themselves. We know that the proxy advisors, these are the people that are these, and this is stuff that you had worked on when you were here in Congress as well. This is the advice that that these analysts are giving about whether someone should or shouldn't vote for a policy, a shareholder proposal that is brought in. And this is fascinating. We've actually seen these proxy advisors recommend voting for items that would violate either state or federal law. Now, under oath and in our committee just a week or two ago, they were saying that while they follow the Securities and Exchange's recommendations, and if the Securities and Exchange Securities and Exchange Commission says it's okay to vote on this, they assume that the SEC has checked its legality, while the SEC under oath has said, well, that's not our job. We don't do that. Well, somebody's got to. I mean, because literally there was a case with Travelers Insurance where there was a shareholder proposal that was close to passing that would have violated federal law on whether you could count race towards the rates on insurance. Well, there was a reason why that was outlawed, is because people of color were having rates that were higher than those who were Caucasian. And so it's just this upside down bizarro world that we found ourselves in, all in pursuit of, frankly, social and political agendas, not in what's best for the investor or best for our economy.
Well, Congressman, stand the case, and your colleagues as well. We appreciate you joining us on The Bottom Line. Michigan's favorite son, Bill Huizenga, thanks for being here.
Hey, good to be with you both. All right, see you soon.
All right, so there we go. More and more in the big drama of Washington, D.C. The big drama. When will this classic tale ever end? Never, ever. It will be on till the fucking day, the death of every fucking one of us. So anyway, all right, I'm going to crank on these phone lines and see what everybody else got to say about this bullshit going on in our country with these criminal motherfuckers running the show. Like I said, the place is ran by corporations. It ain't ran by governments. It ain't ran by them. You know, if you can pay your way out, you know this country's for sale. You got to buy freedom. Freedom ain't free. You got to pay for that shit. It ain't cheap either. You know, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
What a deal.
How much free? But we're free. But we're free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're free, all right. Damn right we're free.
We're free with a backup, goddammit.
With a backup. Yeah, freedom got to have a backup.
Fucking all right. Can't have freedom without the backup.
Nope.
You know it.
That's
man.
Right. Backups on backups on backups.
That's right.
That's pretty sad when you have a country that you have to buy. You buy everything. You buy your freedom. You buy your fucking supposedly your right to carry a gun.
Yeah.
You get a license. You pay for the state. Driver's license. You got to pay for that.
Well, believe it or not, there's a case that just came up this week, yesterday, about a felon owning a firearm, okay? Did you know that telling a felon he can't own a firearm is unconstitutional? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's unconstitutional to tell a person they can't own a firearm. That's a fact.
Even though they're a felon?
Yeah, even though they're a felon, right. Yeah. Because once you walk out of that prison and you're no longer an inmate no more, you done paid your debt to society. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Well, this case just got judged on, was it Monday? Yeah, yesterday. They came with a decision. This guy should not be, he's wrongfully accused of having possession of a weapon because he was a felon because of constitutional right. So, and I have nothing against felons owning guns. All felons ain't bad people. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, you, but the fear is they got this, the scare shock syndrome where they scare you to all these rapists and murderers and all this other shit. Well, you got these fucking motherfuckers doing these mass shootings and shit, ain't got no criminal history at all. What the fuck is that about? I think it's just another excuse to take guns away from everybody. Not just the criminal, but everybody.
Well, you know, I know in Texas, I can't say for any other state, but if you're a convicted felon, you can have a weapon in your house.
Right.
You can't carry it with you. You can't get a gun permit. You can't constitutionally carry, period.
Right.
Not in your house.
Right.
But better not get called out there in the public with it. That's the way it is.
Well, but technically, it, by the Constitution, you have the right to.
Well, I never heard of that. That's a new one on me.
Because the Constitution does not speculate that.
No.
It just states you have the right to keep and bear arms.
It doesn't say what kind, also.
It doesn't say nothing. It doesn't matter, any kind.
Anything.
Yeah,
a bazooka.
Anything. Doesn't
if
matter.
If you could carry a bazooka on your side.
Absolutely. You have the right to do it. That's right. If you want to carry a cannon around, it's your choice. Right.
That's right.
You know? So.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
You got a Lowe's rocket I could get from you real cheap.
Yeah, I could loan you one for a weekend, but you'll get it back after you're done.
Yeah,
you know?
Just for a weekend. Couple
extra shells. But that's what we became. That's what these motherfuckers want full control of us. They slowly, they think they're getting by, but slowly, incrementally shoving this shit down our throats. You know what I mean? That's what the fuck they're trying to do. Slowly. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? That gets you used to it so it's easy. So, you know, it's like, I'm just going to stick in the head. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to shove the whole 10-foot of shaft down your asshole. I'm just going to put the head in, all right? That's how they're fucking playing this, man.
That's
what it is. And a lot of people don't see that. They don't get it. They just go, whatever. And them are kind of people need to be fucking smacked. They really do. They need to be fucking straight up smacked. You know, look
at
what's
fucking up. They don't need a spank. They need a full, blown-up, blown-on bitch slap. Okay?
Yep. Now, obviously, I posted something earlier. I posted something earlier about somebody bitching about how slow people drive around here in the Ozarks. Well, you know, they got a lot of responses, like 120 responses real fucking quick over that statement, you know. They're like, well, motherfucker, if you don't like the way it is here, get the fuck out of here, you know. But people don't go by the speed limit here. And those who break the fucking speed limit, that's their own problem. Who cares? We don't give a fuck about that. That ain't the reason why I drive slow. The reason I drive slow is two things. One, these roads don't forgive. They don't give a fuck and they don't care, you know. They will eat you alive. You know what I mean? Then the second part you have is deer. Deer's another problem. The third part is meth heads. Retarded fuckers like that motherfucker making that comment. You know what I mean? And I send a comment back. And I said, the closer they get to my ass, the more I drag down. You know? And I went down at fucking below 5 miles an hour because the cocks are riding my ass. And they're honking their horn at me and mad as hell, beating their steering wheel. And I just waved him a smile in my mirror. Hello, how you doing? How I do. Welcome to the Ozarks. You know? Motherfucker. And then you pass me, I still catch up with him. It doesn't matter. Because the motherfucker in front of me is driving slow, too.
I have a friend that one day, that her son, one day was, you know, driving around at night. He may or may not have had a drink. All right. She tells me that he might have had a drink, but he wasn't near the limit yet. So, but what happened was he ended up because they had another guy on the road in a wheelchair or a bicycle that had no lights on it, had no reflectors on it. And I think it was an electric wheelchair or something, but it had no lights, had no reflectors on it, and it was black, and he was in a black shirt and black pants at night, right? And so the guy's coming down the road, my friend's son's coming down the road, and he hits the guy. Now, it turns out that the other guy was drunk off his ass, you know, trying to go get some more beer or whatever it was he was trying to go get. But he hit him. He got lucky that the other guy was drunk off his ass trying to go get a beer, but that's neither here nor there. That, it happens, you know. I mean, I live, the road that comes into my neighborhood, comes off of what they call Highway 3066, right?
Right.
And this is a very curvy, two-lane highway, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. you know. It goes
right.
from one end of the town all the way down what they call the bayou to the end of the world, which is basically the end of the paved road, right?
Right.
And that's a long way, but this is a very curvy road, and they say, okay, and they have a speed limit on this road of, like, no more than, like, 45 miles an hour, if that.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
And at one point, they had to cut down. They had two big humps, and they had to cut down these humps. One's right there in front of our parish jail, and they had to cut it down, but it was several feet high, and these people would come down roaring down the this highway at 60 miles an hour, and basically Dukes of Hazzard that thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right?
That's how dangerous it is. These roads can be, if you're not if you're not obeying speed limits, you know, you either on this road, you're either going to run into somebody's house or you're going to run into the bayou. That's it. That's
mm-hmm.
your only choices.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's how it is in most parts here. You got so many twists and turns in these fucking roads, and there ain't no guardrails. You know, the only thing you've got is rocks and cliffs. That's it. If you hit a tree, you must count yourself blessed. That tree fucking stopped you. You know what I mean? You're protected by motherfucking nature.
Right.
But people come here,
right.
they don't give a fuck. They think they're still on flatland. And like I said, you know, being in the towing game years ago, not too long ago, you know, I pulled shit out of trees all the time. You know what I mean? And because they're being stupid. You know, I've seen a lot of people die, you know. But that's what they selected. Cool. That's what they want to do, you know. And the other thing, speaking of fucking bullshit in the fucking chemical fucking world we live in, is bullshit government. Gasoline here in the Midwest just jumped up 20 cents a gallon today.
Jeez.
20 fucking cents. You believe that shit? 20 fucking cents. We was at 329. Now we're at 349.
Jeez.
Instantly. Yeah. Jack it up to 20 cents a gallon, motherfuckers. Let's do it. So the more you jack it, the more tax we pay for it.
Thank you, Joe Biden.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Of course.
Well, Joe knows his days and number. He better get as much as he can while he's getting the goods. You know what I mean? You know, rape this bitch for as much as you can get out of this whore. You know, fuck her till her eyeballs bleed. Whatever the fuck it takes. Get it, Joe. Get that money, honey. Get that shit to Ukraine as fast as possibly can. You and Luzinski can party like it's 1999, you motherfuckers. Get it on.
Not
at all, Ron. You don't know what you're talking about. That ain't what's happening. Well, what the fuck is happening? Why are we supporting Ukraine? What is the reason of us being there? What? It ain't humanitarian. That has never been stated. Have you ever heard that? Has anybody heard them say this is a humanitarian effort? No. Not whatsoever. They never say.
Why the hell are we spending our money that we need here over there?
Well, they're stealing our money. No. That's no. This is a made-up fucking bullshit war, man. I'm telling you. These motherfuckers are using this shit You know, they need money. They're hurting. We got to send them some money. So what's going on, I told you before, Biden sends them all the money. Zelensky kicks half of it back to the Biden family. Perfect. Yep. What better way to steal money and not get caught doing it? Even though they're caught, it doesn't matter. They still do it. It still goes on. You see all the shit in the news now about, you know, them doing these illegal trades and power bargaining deals and all this other shit. Well, they ain't stopping. Why stop when you can get by with it? Nobody gives a fuck about them. They're controlled by the corporations that lobbied them. You don't ever hear nothing about lobbyists anymore, do you? No. No, that's a thing of the past. You know, it's just automatic now. Automatic fucking. You know? You're going to take it up the cornhole whether you like it or not. Up the old brown eye. I promise you that. And they control it. They can control Joe Biden. What better way to fucking get by with fucking robbery? What better fucking way? And it's legal. It's all legal. It's okay for them. You know what I mean? So, nobody can convince me any fucking
different. It's hierarchy. It's hierarchy. It's not hypocrisy. It's hierarchy. You can,
no, it's insanism.
It.
It's fucking being insane.
We can do it because we're in power.
That's right. That's right. But you got to remember, there's more than just the Bidens involved here. There's got to be. They can't be doing this alone. I just think they're the front group. I think they're the front act. You know what I mean? I'm telling you.
And
it's such a drag-ass system.
You know, like this shit with Trump.
You haven't heard nothing about Trump's indictment yet, have you, lately? That's completely been kind of wiped out. We ain't heard nothing about that indictment much. They ain't talking about that no more. You know?
No. But I tell you this. We know that the American people have just about given up on the institutions around, you know, the FBI, the CIA, and all this stuff. And there's a reason why, because, one, they're all corrupt. You know, the FBI, the CIA, the DHS, all this shit is corrupt. But they're after him because of his corruption and because of what he's doing. He's exposing them, and they don't want to be exposed.
Right. That's right.
They want to be able to be corrupt and be corrupt under the table so that they can make up their money. So they're going to throw this asshole overboard.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, but you're right, Mike. Yeah, they'll throw him overboard. The simple fact is they got by with what they wanted to get by with. And that's why they wanted him in it. That's why they wanted Hillary Clinton there. Hillary Clinton's a mastermind criminal. Mastermind. You know, and I'm sure she's not, I wouldn't be in doubt her and Obama are fucking involved in all this at some point. You know what I mean? Why not? I mean, she's always happy every time she's on TV. Smiling like she's had 3 tons of dick shoved in her. You know what I mean? No. She's up to something. She's a mastermind. So is Obama. You're talking about some very smart people, you know? And the American people are just so dumb enough to let them do it. Don't care. That's what they're making it look like. Well, you American people, you're just fucking stupid. So we're going to fuck you out of everything we can. As long as we're happy and rich and have everything we want in our hands, fuck you. And we're going to fuck you out of it. You're going to let us, and you're going to like it. That's my Obama impression. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it seems like, doesn't it? So, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's fucking crazy.
I think what's going to happen here, Ron, is that they're getting tired of his shit, of his basically exposing them. All right? They're going to throw his ass over. I think they've already went to him and asked him to step aside, to resign. And he basically flipped them the finger and said, no, I'm running. I'm going to run, right? So they've asked him to resign, and he's going to run. So what do they have? They're backed into a corner. So all this information's coming out. All these whistleblowers are coming out. And here we go. Impeachment's coming, and probably what the trial's going to take place in the Senate and not be covered up and not be covered up, and they're gonna forcibly remove this asshole from office because he's not going quietly.
Well, but you also got to remember they don't want to let fucking Harris be the president either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is, look, we all know this, that this is a guy that, this he needs to be in some place down in Florida or wherever, waiting for his goddamn cello pudding, you know? That's what he needs to be doing. And having people dish out his meds, whatever meds he takes.
All right. Okay, here's something that just came out a day ago. I'm going to flip this clip real quick. Check this out.
Also, this Hunter Biden is expected to plead guilty to a pair of misdemeanor tax charges this Wednesday. So it comes as a source close to Hunter reveals he called his dad, the vice president at the time, dozens of times to impress his overseas partners. The New York Post with another biting front page saying, phone a friend. Lucas Tomlinson live at the White House. He has more. Hi, Lucas.
Hi, Dana. President Biden has long denied that he spoke to his son about his overseas business dealings. But today that claim is being refuted by New York Post columnist Miranda Devine, writing, quote, Hunter Biden would dial into his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, on speakerphone into meetings with his overseas business partners, according to testimony expected before Congress this week from Devin Archer, the first son's former best friend. Archer, 48, who is facing jail for his role in a $60 million bond fraud, is scheduled to testify to the House Oversight Committee. Now, last week, for anybody on vacation, two IRS agents testified they wanted more serious felony charges leveled against Hunter Biden, but were blocked by higher-ups in the chain of command. The agents say they never saw that FBI document from an informant alleging that both Joe Biden and Hunter each received $5 million from the head of that Ukrainian energy company, Burisma, in order to get Ukraine's top prosecutor fired, who was investigating the company. The IRS agents say they were not allowed to interview the family and say Hunter was tipped off about a key search during the investigation. Here's Jim Jordan yesterday on Sunday Morning Futures.
I think we're at the important final stage of this whole thing, which is who are you going to believe? The two whistleblowers whose testimony has been consistent, or the Garland-Biden Justice Department, which can't get their story straight?
Now, we don't know when Devin Archer is supposed to appear before the House Oversight Committee. Of course, it's the last week Congress is in session for that August recess. Dana?
All right, Lucas Tomlinson will pay attention to that. Thank you.
Now, on the Archer point, check out Miranda Devine's piece in the New York Post today. It is thorough, and it's pretty much a preview of what you're going to see when this hearing happens. On CBS, we mentioned Chris Christie a moment ago. He was asked whether or not Republicans should move on from all this Hunter Biden stuff, and this is how that exchange went.
I wonder, after this plea happens, if you would advise your party to move on.
The conduct here by the U.S. Attorney in Delaware and by the Justice Department, it just can't be justified. It does not take 5 years to investigate two misdemeanor tax counts and to dismiss the gun charge. Democrats yell and scream for more new gun laws in the country, yet you hear no Democrat yelling about the fact that Hunter Biden intentionally lied on his gun permit application.
So in short, the answer to that question is no.
Don't do it. It will be an interesting week on this because as you read through like either Miranda Devine or even some of the testimony directly that will come from him, it's pretty damning.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
you can imagine the scenarios in your head, and now it's not just theory. There are actual people testifying.
Remember, they worked very closely together. They traveled the world together, Devin Archer and Hunter Biden. So when it happens, it'll be something to watch. I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Ainsley Earhart. And click here to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page to catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis.
Aging Mr. Rudd. Hey, Gunn, you there?
Yep. Oh, hello, hello.
Hunter Biden will plead guilty tomorrow and likely avoid jail time in his federal tax and gun case, but Republicans are refusing to let up their investigation of Biden family corruption, and now House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says we could be on the verge of impeachment.
When President Biden was running for office, he told the American public that he's never talked about business. He said his family has never received a dollar from China, which we now prove is not true. This is rising to the level of impeachment inquiry, which provides Congress the strongest power to get the rest of the knowledge and information needed.
Outkick host Tommy Lahren joins us now. Tommy, great to have you as always. And as we await Devin Archer's expected testimony that Joe was on dozens of calls with Hunter's business associates, does it feel like we've reached the point where more and more people are seriously talking about impeachment, even more so than just a month ago?
Well, listen, for months now, we've been literally tripping over evidence. I mean, you actually have to trip over and avoid the evidence that's been piling up, not implicating Hunter Biden, but implicating Joe Biden himself. A lot of people in the media get this incorrect. They think that we're just simply going after Hunter because he's got addiction issues and because his life is in shambles. Not so. We want to know if the big guy was involved, and we want to know if that comes at a risk and a cost of our national security and our national interest. But I would say if an impeachment inquiry is coming up on the horizon, I think I speak for a lot of Americans when I say, well, it's about dang time. We have something seriously done here so that the American people can get to the real truth, have some real transparency, and then decide for themselves, should he actually continue to run in 2024? This is going to be big. This testimony is going to be big. And notice how the White House and the White House press secretary continue to squirm when these questions start piling up, even from members of the media that you wouldn't expect. I love to see it.
Yeah, there's been a shift in messaging. What do you think about that? It used to be Joe Biden never spoke to his son about his overseas business dealings. Now, you heard White House Press Secretary Terry Crean, Jean-Pierre, yesterday say that he's not in business with his son.
Yeah, the language here is very important, and it's very strategic. So I hope that the real journalists out there, I hope that they're listening, picking up on this. You're going to hear more of this. But you can't get out of what we've already have on tape of the president saying that he has no knowledge of his son's business dealings. That's going to be a very damning piece of this puzzle. I think he probably really wishes he wouldn't have phrased it like that, because now it's looking more and more apparent that he was in some way, shape, or form, to what extent we don't know yet, involved in those business dealings.
It's going to be real interesting to parse Ian Sams's language. He's the White House spokesperson. He puts out all the written statements. Each word is going to be dissected because I think they have a problem on their hands. Meantime, President Biden's recent falls are reportedly worrying some Democrats about his 2024 campaign. One anonymous congressional Democrat telling NBC News, quote, the Democratic Party needs to be responsive to what people are saying about Biden and their concerns that they have with his age. The number of text messages that I got after the president fell. I mean, my phone was blowing up. People are like, oh, this is so bad. Combine that, Tommy, with the falling with the bribery allegations begs the question, will Democrats now kick Joe Biden off the ticket? And if not, what else would it take?
Yeah, I think the Democrats would much rather talk about Joe Biden's age than talk about his scandals, right? So I think that you're going to see a big shift to them now being more open to discussing his mental acuity and his physical ability, because that is much easier for them to discuss somebody who is in their 80s. Obviously, someone in their 80s is going to be somewhat declining. So they would rather discuss that than the scandals here, because then they would have to admit their lazy journalism for many years covering up for the Biden family scandals. But I think one person, and you guys know this, sitting in California right now, Governor Gavin Newsom, he's probably getting a lot of text messages every time we see the president stumble, both physically or with his words. And I think he's gearing up, ready to go. He's watching and he's waiting. And it's almost Shark Week, guys. And Gavin Newsom is like a hungry shark. he is ready to go, in my opinion.
Tommy, real quick before we let you go, from Joe Biden to his top Democrat challenger, RFK Jr., he recently said that he's been slammed by the media even more than Donald Trump. And if he read the things and believed the things in newspapers that are said about him, he wouldn't even vote for himself, but he says it's all wrong. What do you think about that? Quickly here.
Well, he has been attacked by the mainstream media, but I don't think that there is a politician alive that's been attacked more by the media than one Donald J. Trump. So let's be serious here. He's been attacked, but in that game, Donald Trump still reigns supreme. He takes far more incoming.
Yeah. And he probably does win that one. It's not one that you want to win.
You don't want to win it, but he's
won. But he won. Tom, you got to leave it there. Thank you so much. Fox and Friends starts right now.
I'm Steve Busey.
I'm Brian Turner. All right, there
we go. I'm Ainsley Earhart. And click here to subscribe to the Fox News
YouTube
page to catch our...
Tonight on Crazy Nation Radio with Fox News Network, telling you all the bullshit of all the evidence on Joe Biden, and he's still not impeached or locked up, is the one question all Americans have. Why? Why is this motherfucker still walking free? How could this be? How could it even be at all? What makes him more superior above all human beings? You made these laws and rules up to protect your so-called selves. But now that one of your own has been doing this shit, now it's getting hard to cover it up, ain't it, folks? That's the problem. They're having a hard time covering this up. Don't it suck to be them?
Yeah.
You know, there's no
suck to be them.
Well, you know, there's no way in Snowball's hell Gruesome Newsom is ever going to get out of California, much less into the White House. Okay? That liberal cocksucker. Okay, I mean, you talk about somebody that's worser than Poopy Pants Biden. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker is so fucking fucked up in the head, his mama should have fucking swallowed. Okay, that's how
mm-hmm.
fucked up he is.
Yeah, I can't blame her for not, though. I can't blame her for not, really. You know?
Well,
yeah,
it's the same thing with what's his name in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
That
oh, yeah. Yeah, he's back in news again too, ain't he?
Oh fuck yeah, he was. Wow.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen a clip on him yet. What's his fucking name?
Trudeau.
Trudeau.
Trudeau. Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. But that idiot right there has been. His mama didn't drop him on his head. He was bounced off the fucking floor off his head, just like Gruesome Newsom was. I'm still saying she should have swallowed. Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, some worthless pieces of fucking human shit that ever come out of a woman's between the legs. I swear. Well, there's a lot of them like that.
Let's take a listen to this clip real quick. Some kind of bullshit they're saying about this gay guy.
All right, good to have you with us on this Monday morning. We mentioned the U.S. futures pointing to a positive start. It's going to be a busy week, as we mentioned, on both the earnings and central bank front. And for the Canadian market, the TSX is coming off its second winning week in a row. We've started to see some of those lagging sectors pull up their socks a little bit. And we already mentioned that the Dow, for example, had rallied for the last 10 sessions. So the laggards of 2023 picking up some steam. But we mentioned that there are some signs of a cooling economy as we go through the year. And we'll get some GDP data in this country as we move through the next few sessions. I want to bring back Carl Schimatti's chief market strategist, Corpay, to talk more specifically about Canada. How are you assessing the situation in this country right now?
It is interesting. We had almost a false dawn, I think, in the Canadian economy in May, surprising robustness in growth levels. And that was led by the fact that, you know, you did have that you did have a rebound in the real estate market. You had strong employment numbers, strong consumption, all of that feeding into overall growth. When we look at the GDP print, the early estimate suggests that you're going to see relatively robust rebound from the numbers in April. However, the preliminary estimate for June is likely to point to more softness, right? And so why are you going to see more softness? Very likely because that rebound in the housing market has sort of faded off. We've seen a bit of a slowdown in activity. And at the same time, you had all of the sort of wildfire-related disruptions to the energy sector, right? So, you know, that business investment side might slacken off. Exports might slacken off a bit at the same time that you have a bit of a slowdown in the core consumer engine in the Canadian economy, which is largely driven by what's happening in the housing market.
You know, we'll get that data on Friday. The reading is for May. You mentioned we'll get an early look at June, but all of that still is, I mean, we're on the doorstep of August here. And I guess for the Bank of Canada, which has already been quite aggressive in raising interest rates, where do they have to pinpoint their focus at this point? We are going to, by the way, get Canada's relatively new version of Fed minutes, the deliberations from the most recent Bank of Canada decision. We'll get that this week as well. Maybe that'll give us a little bit of more color on what their thinking is going forward.
Yeah, it's funny in Canada, right? We're so often driving and through the, using the rearview mirror, right? We're looking at what happened historically to figure out what policy changes might come in the future. The reality here is that markets are overwhelmingly convinced that the Bank of Canada is now on the sidelines and for a prolonged period of time, right? The question at this point is not about what happens in this calendar year. It's about what happens in 2024. Are we looking at a Canadian economy that slows more dramatically and then compels the Bank of Canada to match the Fed when it begins cutting, right? So there was an assumption for a very long time that the Bank of Canada would lag the Fed, that the Fed would begin cutting really aggressively and the Bank of Canada would follow, you know, at a delay and also cut by less than the Fed did. And that, you know, that assumption I think is going to be challenged. And the main reason here is that we are seeing that, you know, that softening in the labor market here in Canada probably progressing a little bit more quickly than it is in the U.S. So you're seeing, you know, the number of job vacancies come down. The employment number on Thursday is going to be kind of interesting for that as well. You know, the job vacancy number.
Okay, I'm going to stop this clip. I just read something, y'all. This ought to really make you guys really fucking interested. I don't know if any of you guys are into the Bitcoins or anything.
Did you know that one of the largest Bitcoin whales...
I don't know if you guys are into Bitcoins or anything like that, you know, that fucking cryptocurrency and shit. I got some friends that are into it, and they got a lot of money sunk into it. This clip here I just dug up, this it just came out like a day ago. But it's not going to be good here. We'll tell you a little bit of this clip.
Happens to be the U.S. government. It's believed to hold almost two...
You back it up. Start from the
Did you know that one of the largest Bitcoin whales happens to be the U.S. government? It's believed to hold almost 200,000 BTC worth almost $6 billion. And recently, some of this BTC has been on the move. This has led to speculation that the government is about to sell. Now, the last time this happened was in March, and the crypto market crashed as a result. Shortly after, the U.S. government announced it would be selling more, and history suggests it will eventually sell all its BTC. Today, we're going to tell you everything you need to know about the U.S. government's BTC, including where it all came from, what Uncle Sam could do with it, and how all of this could impact the market. I'll start by saying that nobody actually knows how much BTC is held by the U.S. government, or any government for that matter. That's because crypto holdings by governments aren't typically disclosed, and those that are disclosed...
Now, let's talk about transparency. Even though they're running our show, shouldn't we know everything they're fucking doing? But you don't. You see what I mean? You don't know what these motherfuckers are doing. You don't know. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
you see what I mean, man? Wow. Wow.
Yeah, we don't know.
$300 billion in Bitcoin. Wow. Yeah.
We're steamrolling for the Fed now thing.
Well, that's already activated. That just got activated yesterday. That went online yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
So get ready. That's already here. That's just a precursor of it. That's the beginning of it. You know what I mean? So, you know, like when you send something back to Yahoo or Amazon, you'll instantly get a refund. I mean, instantaneously. Before they even get the package, you'll have a refund. Yeah. Ain't that nice? Somebody else is handling your money, are you?
Yeah, the problem with that is there's gonna be a lot of fraud in this shit. You know? Oh, they may say, oh, we're gonna take away all the fraud, right, Ron? That's where they're gonna go. Mm-hmm. That's what they're gonna say with this shit. Oh, we're gonna take away all the fraud, right?
Right. And right. Even though they are the fraud. They're the fraudsters.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't pay attention when I'm doing this hand. Look at this hand. You know what I mean? Type shit. That's exactly what the fuck it's up. But anyway, here's another goddamn the shit that's going on and on. Here's when Jesse Waters, Hunter Biden may have jinxed his plea deal. What the fuck's that all about? Y'all heard anything on that?
Yeah, there's a judge that has rejected the plea deal.
Oh, yeah?
A judge has.
No shit. I didn't hear that one. Where the fuck have I been? I try to keep up on all this shit. Okay, well, I got to hear this, a little bit of this one. God damn me. Wait, start the show.
News alert, Hunter Biden's plea deal is now in jeopardy. President Joe Biden's son is set to appear in court tomorrow, where Delaware Judge Mary Ellen Noreika will decide on whether or not to sign off on Hunter's plea deal. And Hunter Biden may have just jinxed the deal. You're not going to believe what he just did. Republican Congressman Jason Smith just filed a brief with the judge, entering into evidence the IRS whistleblower testimony. Basically a legal move to get the judge to think, you know what, are you really going to let this guy off so easy? And Hunter Biden's attorney called the courthouse clerk today and pretended to be a Republican attorney and told the clerk, oops, you know what, we didn't really mean to file all that whistleblower stuff. Can you guys just strike that from the record? Seriously, Hunter Biden's lawyer made a phony phone call to the court and tried to remove the whistleblower testimony. He called and impersonated the opposing lawyer. Hey, this is a Republican attorney Chris Clark. Never mind that amicus brief. Just forget about it. That was an accident. Good day, young lady.
You want to talk about fucking yourself in court? That's nice. That was real fucking intelligent.
Oh,
my God. How fucking stupid could you ever fucking be? And if they let him get by with that, goes to show how fucking stupid our government really fucking is. You know what, guys? Wow. Anyway, we'll continue on with this. Here we go. Fuck me.
But what is
this sounds like the kind of caper you cook up when you're on cocaine. Hey, guys. You know what we should do? We should just call the courthouse and pretend we're the other lawyer. Democrats just called this whole investigation a clown show, and Hunter Biden's lawyers are making prank calls to the judge on the eve of the plea deal. You can get disbarred for that. This is so brazen, either Hunter thinks he can get away with anything, or his legal team is panicked that this judge is actually going to toss the plea and Hunter may have to serve time. The judge, a Democrat, was furious that Hunter's lawyer tried to pull one over on her clerk. And the judge is now ordering Hunter's attorneys to explain themselves by 9 o'clock tonight or be sanctioned. But this wasn't the worst news for the Bidens today. Impeachment is officially on the table. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's come out and said it's go time.
You've got an informant claiming that the Biden family had been bribed. Should you ignore that, or you should investigate that? The only way you can investigate that is through an impeachment inquiry, so the committee would have the power to get all the documents that they would need.
Sources tell the Federalist the FBI corroborated most of the allegations made by the FBI informant that the Ukrainians bribed Joe Biden $5 million. They told the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware, you know, the prosecutor investigating Hunter, and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware either sat on it or was blocked from pursuing it. And now we're learning that the Biden family had an inside man. A Biden family insider worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware. Alexander Mackler worked for Senator Biden, Vice President Biden, Beau Biden, and Biden Harris. And coincidentally worked for the same Delaware prosecutor who gave Hunter Biden the sweetest of sweetheart deals in the history of sweetheart deals. So, if the Biden family is so clean, like the Democrats keep insisting, Why the massive cover-up? Why is the FBI and the CIA lying? Why is the Department of Justice obstructing? Why are Hunter and his business partners texting, just leave Biden's name out of it? Why does the White House story keep changing, and why does Joe Biden keep lying? And why are all of Hunter's business partners either in prison, awaiting sentencing, or disappeared? And why can't anybody tell me what the Biden family business is? Oh, and why did 10 Bidens get 17 mil from dirty foreign nationals? Bank records show at least 10 of them were involved. So how can the Democrats claim that Joe Biden isn't involved in the Biden family business when he took over 200 meetings with Hunter's business partners? What, they both like to eat lunch at the same place? Hunter Biden put his dad on speaker in front of his business partners over 24 times. What do you think, they were just talking about the Redskins game? And now Biden's business partners are flipping. Next week, we know Hunter's right-hand man, Devin Archer, is set to testify to Congress. Archer's been through it all. He sat in the same Ukrainian board with Hunter, played ball with China and Romania. Devin Archer is so close to the Bidens and the family business that Hunter actually said, Devin, quote, you're a Biden. So if Devin flips, it is over. But Devin might not be the only one to flip. Reports say Eric Sherwin, who operated Hunter's business bank accounts, he was kind of like the family banker, moving money between Joe and Hunter's accounts, making mortgage payments. He may be close to cooperating too. And we've already heard from Tony Bobulinski. That would make three Biden family business partners flipping. Nobody's been as close to the scandal than these three. So who's doubting him?
Clearly he was only getting his money because his last name was Biden. But what's been missing is that definitive link
to the president,
to his father.
There is no evidence of any wrongdoing by the president. And Mr. McCarthy knows that.
I'm not sure where Joe Biden falls in any of this.
Well, I'll tell you where he falls, pretty much in the middle. We have Joe Biden on the phone, Joe Biden at meetings, at dinners, Joe Biden in photographs, Hunter's business partners coming to the White House, coming on Air Force Two. All Hunter's business partners just happened to call Joe the big guy. And the big guy's code for Joe Biden so they don't have to mention his name over email. Don't mention his name. Hunter says, don't bring my father's name up in writing. And Hunter writes up a dozen emails saying the only reason the Chinese went into business with him was because of his dad. And his dad's portfolio is the exact same portfolio as Hunter's business partners. Wow. Shocking. And Hunter was shaking down business partners with Joe Biden in the room. And informants say Biden was bribed. Oh, and they also say they're holding money for Biden in one of those shell companies. So that's kind of around where Joe Biden falls in all of this.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews ever.
By the way, so we talk about this stuff. You can say, Pat, you're crazy. That's insane. It's not fair. What about this? What about that? Some of you may say, like, when I did the interview with Anthony Weiner, and obviously I said I would never bring up Frazzle Drip because it's irresponsible, right? I would never bring up the 9 out of 12 cops that committed a suicide within a few months. That's irresponsible. And then I talk about, why are all these people
dying?
And I said, your reaction is an answer to Anthony Weiner, right? And media reacts to it. People write about it. There's all these other videos. But guess what happened? Maybe it influenced a few people to go look into it and say, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, just this couple days ago, yesterday, story comes out about what? A story comes out about Barack Obama's chef.
Personal chef.
911 phone call for Obama's chef reported possibly drowning. Martha's Vineyard is plunged into chaos as body of ex-president's cook, 45 years old, is found 100 feet from shore in paddle boarding drowning accident. Let me read the story to you. And we're not tying the two together, by the way. This is just the story of people to do research. So it says, Tafari Campbell, great name, a former chef for the Obamas, was found dead in 8 feet of water after a possible drowning incident while paddleboarding on Edgartown Great Pond, Massachusetts. Witnesses saw him struggling to stay afloat before he went underwater around 7:46 p.m. Massachusetts State Police, U.S. Coast Guard, and local authorities, including Edgartown Fire and Air Wing, were part of the rescue mission. Michelle and Barack Obama paid tribute to Campbell, stating Tafari was a beloved, a warm, fun, extraordinary kind of person who made all of our lives a little brighter. Campbell was known for brewing White House honey ale beer and was one of the four White House cooks asked to stay under the Obama administration. When the story first broke, a lot of different media outlets said the fact that he didn't know how to swim. Matter of fact, there was a post of Instagram of him, hashtag, still don't know how to swim or something like that. I don't know if you saw that or not, where he didn't know how to swim. And then a video appeared. Rob, I don't know if you have the video or not. There's a video of him swimming right there. This is him. This is him on Twitter. If you can play this clip.
He knows how to swim, Pat.
So this is him swimming. That's pretty solid to swim like that. That's backstroke that he's doing there.
He has slippers on.
He says progress, fit chef. And,
there's one where he's doing the backstroke. He's doing the butterfly.
Yeah, this is him. I don't know if I would call him an Olympic swimmer, but I think he knows how to swim. Okay. And if you're in 8 feet of water and you don't know how to swim, all you got to do is...
Look at, he's doing the backstroke. Yeah.
So, look, the story first said he didn't know how to swim. Then this came out that he knew how to swim. By the way, he had twin sons with his wife.
Yeah.
He had twin sons with his wife, and the story's out. While we're watching this, Alper, my chef, is standing next to me saying, Alper, did you see this story? He's kind of like, I was saying earlier, he ran out. I haven't seen him since.
He doesn't know how to swim.
Yeah, did you see? Well, first of all, paddleboarding, there's no wake, there's no waves, there's no nothing. It was late at night. He was with somebody else. He was with another male, which nobody knows what happened to that guy. And then
Hillary and Bill Clinton were there. That's what's up. Hillary and Bill Clinton were there. They just get together. Yeah. There's him dinner with Jeffrey Epstein, the other one he supposedly killed,
Yeah. Of course he is. Yeah, you're right about that, Ryan. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Why not? Fuck me. So it's been some exciting news in 2 days of the week. Fuck, it's only Tuesday. Well, it's Wednesday now, but I mean, fuck. Why not? That's why I decided to do a show tonight. Too much shit hitting at one time. I thought I want to see what the rest of the world might know about this fucking craziness we live in.
Crazy, crazy.
It is fucking nutty, nuts.
I mean, you've dealt with judges before, right, Ron? I mean, why would you call a courthouse, ask for a judge, and try and personate what essentially is your enemy, your opponent?
Right.
In this case, why would you want to do that? I mean, really?
Well, it's first off, it's fucking stupid. It's extremely fucking stupid. And that judge is going to have to pull her skirt up, and realize she can't fuck around with this, If this judge doesn't do something about this and know about it, that's corruption. That's straight up fucking corruption. That judge is done. She's done. But why would you sacrifice yourself over somebody like him? Just so he can be free, you're going to sacrifice your life for him? To make him fucking happy? Like you owe him something?
We'll see what she does,
Well, we'll find out today.
Yeah.
Because that plea bargain's brought, the judge doesn't have to go with that. That's just the state. The state says we'll agree on this. That doesn't matter what the fucking state agrees. The judge don't give a fuck about that. The judge will just go with the flow. Usually, so they ain't got to make a decision. They do a farm kind of deal, But no, this is going to be a little bit different, Because see, there's more evidence added to the case with these whistleblowers. So you see what I'm saying? The whistleblowers weren't in this original case in the beginning of it. This is shit that was added in later, which is more damning evidence against him. And for him just to get a misdemeanor charge of slap on the wrist ain't fucking there, man. It's not a negotiable deal here now. Too late. The public knows about it. You know what I'm saying? That fucking judge, she would have so many people hating her. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to risk myself because one thing, if the public doesn't like it and some wackadoodle fucking gets loose about it and completely hates you for doing that, they're going to come for you. You know what I mean? So, I mean, look look what the fucking wackadoodles did against the Supreme Court members, the Supreme Court, you know, and all that shit. So, you know, and this ain't no fucking Supreme Court judge. This is a fucking regular old fucking run-of-the-mill judge, you know?
Yes.
So apparently she was pretty furious over it, you know?
Yeah, if she's that pissed off, she's gonna do something about it, you know, if she's that pissed off. Now, we'll see what happens later on today when she gavels the court back in. And we'll see. I mean, they did say she's a Democrat now. So I'm not saying that she's not going to do anything. I'm just saying she's a Democrat.
Well, it doesn't mean they're all Democrats ain't the same wackaloons as most of them are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If this, I don't want to say right thinking, if this is a more of a conservative Democrat or whatever it is, not as far left as some of these other people, they're in trouble. Biden's in trouble of losing his thing, his plea deal.
Let me see. Well, it's a federal court. I'm trying to see. Well, here's another one. Hang on. Let's check this out. This came out through earlier. It's Dan Abrams. Hang on a minute. Let's see what he says.
Tomorrow, Hunter Biden will be in a federal courtroom. He's agreed to plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax offenses for failing to pay taxes in 2017 and 2018, enter a pretrial diversion program regarding a separate felony gun charge. The DOJ writing, quote, from on or about October 12, 2018 through October 23rd, 2018, Hunter Biden possessed a firearm despite knowing he was an unlawful user of and addicted to a controlled substance. The plea deal that likely spares Hunter time behind bars lies in the hands of U.S. District Judge Mary Ellen Noreika, appointed by President Trump. The judge will decide whether to accept or reject the plea deal. And today, I view it as a startling move, the Republican chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee submitted materials to the judge in connection with this criminal case, flagging recent politicization claims from IRS whistleblowers. Representative Jason Smith's attorney wrote in a court filing, quote, the committee member has been made aware that the defendant appears to have benefited from political interference, which calls into question the propriety of the investigation of the U.S. Attorney's Office. Now, of course, the U.S. Attorney, appointed by Donald Trump and allowed to remain to oversee the Hunter Biden case after President Trump left office, has denied all of it. The letter went on to say it's critical for the court to have this relevant information when evaluating the plea agreement. And I don't understand why politicians are getting involved in a criminal case. But also today, Judge Noreika received two different amicus briefs, meaning friend of the court briefs, opposing that plea, which they are claiming is a sweetheart deal. Now, I've said that I think, if anything, Hunter got tougher treatment than an ordinary person might get, particularly with regard to the gun charge, where I've not been able to find a single case where someone was charged with just this violation of the gun laws by a drug user over a single gun, where the person has no criminal record, no aggravating factors, no use of the gun in a crime, et cetera. But joining me now is George Washington University public interest law professor John Bonzaff. He filed one of those amicus briefs opposing the Hunter Biden plea deal. Professor, good to see you again. All right, so why did you submit this brief?
Well, that's what I think public interest law professors do. Instead of writing law review articles, we try to see if our legal skills can be used to help protect the public interest and in particular to go after possible wrongdoing. That's why I filed to get special prosecutors for Nixon. I filed a complaint which led to the Georgia criminal investigation of Trump in Georgia, and I guess that shows I'm not carrying the water for the Republicans. I haven't said it's a sweetheart deal. What I said is that in deciding whether or not to approve it at this time, the judge should have all of this documentary evidence in front of her. She can't obviously go on press reports or media reports. It has now been filed by me, by the Heritage Foundation, and apparently also by members of Congress. And I think it's strong enough that it has to be refuted, or she's going to have to think very carefully about accepting this plea.
Wait, but again, what is it that she needs more information on exactly? I mean, the U.S. Attorney, David Weiss, has written numerous letters now to Congress insisting that it's not true that he was somehow meddled with, that he had the authority and the autonomy to make the decisions that he did. So exactly what is it that she's waiting for this information for?
Well, let's take that. We have two people at the IRS who have sworn under oath and apparently have documentary evidence backing them up that there was political interference. Weiss has sent letters. So far as I know, he has not yet testified under oath, although he is apparently going to do so very shortly. So what we have is sworn testimony on the one hand, plus some letters which some people think is a little bit ambiguous. What I'm suggesting is that the judge has to look at this evidence and probably should not approve the plea deal tomorrow. Rather, there's enough evidence that she's got to say, I've got to look into this. I've got to appoint a special master. I've got to at least ask people like Weiss and others who've been charged to submit something under oath so I can make a decision whether or not accepting this plea is in the public interest.
Well, so, again, there's nothing ambiguous about what Weiss has said. I mean, you may think he's lying, but there's nothing ambiguous.
But Dan, he didn't say it. Dan, you're a lawyer. You know you can say anything in letters. You just said in your opening that lying is not an impeachable offense.
Professor Bonzaff, we shall see. Thank you for your time. As always, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching. Go to NewsNationNow.com to find News Nation on your cable provider.
You're about fucking worthless.
And don't
worthless.
Forget to click.
That fucking dude's about worthless, isn't he? Let me see. Yeah, I don't see that judge actually. I can't see her going through with it. You know what I mean? And there ain't too many articles on that. There's not too many articles on that shit. You know what I mean? But it's going to come out. It's going to come out hot and heavy too.
Wait,
call the fuck.
Fucking. You want to see her allowing the plea deal or not allowing the plea deal?
Allowing the plea deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't see her doing it either.
Well, you heard what Jesse Waters said. He said the motherfuckers called him and said they were somebody else. They lied to a judge. That's obstruction. That's obstruction, man. You know, why would you do that? Because you know that motherfuckers, they're worried. They're fucking worried now that the fucking, you know, the whistleblower shit came out on top of this motherfucker and it's showing the gospel truth. There's nothing to deny it. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
Nope.
It's the gospel fucking truth. So he's fucked. Biden's fucked too. They're both fucked. Long down the line, they're both fucking fucked.
But if not, then you're going to
realize something, that we are the ones that got fucked. You know, it's okay for them, but they don't care for you. Like I said many years ago, that's what the fuck they're doing. That's what's going to happen. It don't matter what the fuck you say, what you do. If you do it, you're going to fucking jail. They do it, it's fine and dandy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sad fucking reality of that, man. Motherfucker.
So wait, that last story said that Trump appointed this judge, right?
Yeah, I think so. No, not that. Not the judge. No, not that one. No. Not the one hearing the case. It was another judge.
Okay, never mind. I thought, what was this judge's name again? Mary Ellen what?
Something, yeah. The woman judge. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, wouldn't that be a mind blower? She says, no, I'm not taking this plea deal. This shit ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? There's more to it than what we've been told. You know what I'm saying? And the one she should be looked at should be the prosecutor who came up with the fucking deal. You know? That's the motherfucker need to be looked at. What are you thinking about coming up with this kind of fucking sweet deal? How much money were you paid? So there's bribery again. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bidens are apparently pretty good at that shit. Taking briberies, giving bribes, you know, whatever. Who's not to say they didn't bribe this fucking prosecutor? You know, I can get you a seat in the White House somewhere.
if you let this go on by and not let this happen, my boy, you know what I mean? I'm telling you. They're dirty motherfuckers, man. When it comes down to it, there's some dirty motherfuckers. Wow. Crazy, ain't it, guys? Just fucking nuts. Fucking wow. Just when you thought you heard it all.
Jeez. Say it's not true. Say it's not true. They're not dirty.
I wish I could, brother. I wish I could. Say it isn't so, you know.
Say it isn't so.
It's very fucking true.
And they got a backup.
And they got a backup. And they know somebody that's got a cousin, knows somebody, knows a dude that knows something, knows, you know. Well, I'm glad George decided to make it here tonight and listen to the show. You know, I'm still the number one show, George. I'm the best ever. I know you can't compete with me, but hey, you know, come on, man. You know, let's let all that hard shit go on by. You know,
did the coward stop by? Coward.
Well, I'm sure he is. He monitors all my shows.
Oh yeah.
He can't resist me. I'm like a cigarette to that motherfucker. You know, you got to have some wreck. You got to have a hit of wreck every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Hit of wreck.
Lose your mind if you don't. If you don't have a hit of wreck, you're fucked. I'm serious, man. You got to toke a wreck every fucking week if you can. You know?
Oh yeah.
And you can't resist it. You know, you just can't. You can't give up.
Yep.
You know? It's a love hate relationship type thing, I think.
But what do you expect from these fuckers?
Yeah. Fucking the circus goes on. And the show
goes on.
Yeah, it does. But hey, we're just about out of time, fellas. I'm seriously not going to be overtime.
Yep, fellas.
Yeah, it's getting close to that time, so I'm going to throw up a song.
It
bid you adieu, and I will probably try to do it again tonight, maybe. For Wednesday night, and we'll see how it goes. See if I can do it a little earlier, because I'm a busy man. So anyway, this thing's supposed to be hotter than the seven gates of fucking hell. I'm sure down in Texas, you guys are fucked. We're supposed to be hitting 100 degrees tomorrow and so on for the next 7 days.
It's supposed to be that for 10 days here, over 100.
I see the 7 day forecast, so it's same for here, bro. 100 degrees, every bit of it. I have that auction to do. I was supposed to cook this auction next Saturday. I canceled it. Fuck you. Nope, ain't happening.
All right. I guess we'll see you later, Ryan.
All right, guys. All right. Well, have a good one. I'll see you later tonight, hopefully. So behave yourself and don't take no bullshit from nobody. And behave yourselves. Try to. Because they'll get you. They won't give you a break. So I'll see you guys.
All right.
I wanna fly away. Fly away, yeah, with you.